9, 8, 7, 6.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. It's great to be back. I want to give a shout out to Joe and Keith, who are the guys who are making it all happen. And I love the way we scramble, but get it done. Anyway, today, special guest, Mr. John Schrader, along with his partner,
Mr. Dave DeGraw.
That was smooth. What's really nice about this, John, honestly, is that I love it when people contact me.
Oh, yeah.
And you contact me.
Absolutely.
And I love that for our viewing audience. I mean, if you're at least a semi-professional, you know, you've done some work, please call me up. I'm always looking for guests. I don't always get guests who are as professional as you. You're about to release your third album, am I correct?
Yes, sir. Yep. It's called Daylight Crashing. It's been a very, very long time in the making. Roughly about 4 or 5 years. It's been, you know, personal setbacks and, you know, loss of family members but you know what, that actually shows in the music. It's a pretty deep, solid record. The mixing is finally done, and now I'm just off to New York City to Avatar Studios to master it. So I'm looking very forward to getting that out.
I know you lost your mother. I recently lost my mom, but I know your work is renowned for the intensity and the personal pain of your lyrics.
Mm.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I know a lot of people, a lot of artists, songwriters, and just writers in general have spoken about very deep personal issues, and they said to me that they try to keep some things for themselves, and they don't let the people hear certain things or see certain things. And to me, I think it's as a writer, I think it's kind of an injustice, because if you're not telling the whole story, you're not really putting all of yourself out there. So I try to put it all out there in my music. We got a song called Open Book, and it's basically about being a writer, how your life really is an open book, and you don't want to really keep chapters out.
Well, we had a guest here, and she did the vagina song.
The vagina song.
We had to schedule that broadcast for a little later time. Remember that, Joe?
So much for us doing the vagina song. We're going to surprise you with it.
That was a great song. The first song she ever wrote. And she had personal names for...
Don't we all?
Yes. Anyway. So... Now, it's very interesting because I went to your website, johnschrader.com, and I'm sure they're flashing it as we speak underneath us. Just had a brain freeze.
That's okay.
But anyway, so you, this is what it was. You were out with a 7-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
You were out with a 7-piece band, and you were talking about how you liked having all those pieces, and you found the special people.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, now I'm out with an acoustic trio.
Right.
Now, are we talking money is an issue here, or...?
It's never been an issue for us, actually. There's so many players out there, and we've been auditioning players now for about 3 years. And, you know, it's respectable to want to make money, but music isn't a place where you get into it trying to make money. It's like, you know, so it's a lotto ticket, so you have to get into it for the love of doing it. When we had the 8-piece band, it was a different bird than what we got right now. We weren't really doing any original material at all. It was all blues and swing, and that's him and I hadn't been on stage in about 10 years at the point that we started doing that. So we did that for about maybe 2 years, and I got to be honest with you, like I spoke to you, I mean, you know, John Federico and Gary Schwartz are all good friends of mine. We come down to the city in Westchester, and we jam all the time, and a lot of fun doing it. But creatively, I just got to the point as a writer that this just kind of wasn't cutting it for me. I wasn't able to tell my stories. So that band kind of went by the wayside. I got back into heavily writing again, and once the songs kind of were finished, then we kind of pieced things together We had the full band, but unfortunately we had a bass player move back to Florida and a drummer move to Rhode Island. It took us a very long time to find these guys. So we've been auditioning for players for about 3 years. But the way it is now, that the three of us, we go out and, you know, we've got three-part harmonies, and I got the electric kick pedal on the floor. And when you say acoustic, people have a tendency to think, oh, well, it's folk, until they come out and see us and they realize that it really isn't. It's a very full sound.
Well, we must mention that you were supposed to appear here as a three-piece, but unfortunately a family issue derailed.
Our other guitar player, Sean, couldn't make it because of a family emergency at the last minute. So we're wishing him and his grandmother well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for all my guests, if you've got pedals, you need to bring an amp.
There you go.
Otherwise, we unfortunately can't. We have nothing to plug them into.
There you go.
But
so we're adapting today.
No, I think it's great. And I was listening to the sound check, and we got a great sound. Keith got a great sound on your guitar.
Great.
I think you're going to like it. You know, I review CDs for More Sugar.
Oh yeah, Tom's magazine. Yep, we played Tom all the time too.
Right, so when it's done, you mail it to me.
Oh, fantastic.
And the way it works, everybody gets a good review.
Oh, cool.
Gusters or else do. I don't write them.
And that's admirable. That's admirable.
That's the way
you
it
know,
works.
When you're on your way up, it's admirable to come across people like that. Because the last thing you want to do is get slagged when you're kind of on the way up. But Gus Amador did two reviews for my first two records for More Sugar. And really good reviews, so... Okay. Been very blessed with the music so far. Everybody who's listened, all the radio and newspapers, been very, very kind. So that means we're doing something right, I think.
Are you a full-time musician? Is that how you...
We'd like to be, but unfortunately, you know, with all the responsibilities, you know, family and all that we have. I do. You know, I'm a musician. I went to school for music. I went to school for film and audio. I worked in New York City in production for a long time. I have my own studio now. I score music for television.
Where is your studio?
It's in Kingston, New York.
Oh, that's where Gary used to play.
Every Sunday, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember I went up there once thinking it wasn't far, and it was like...
hour and a half.
Hour and a half in the pouring rain.
So we do that, and, you know, we've all got jobs that, you know, that pay the bills.
Okay. That's cool. So, you guys are going to play for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. You want to talk about the first song, or you just want to play it?
First song we're going to do is a song called Round Here. This was one of the very first songs that I had written for the record. It's a very low key. Even on the record, it's pretty low key timbre-wise. But it's basically a song about what it's like to do what we're doing in a smaller town. You know, if you're in a bigger city, people have a tendency to be able to accept artists more and that kind of thing.
Sure.
But when you're in a smaller town, you're met with a lot more resistance, I've noticed, from when I was in Kingston versus when I was living in the city. The city kind of embraces artists, whereas the smaller towns, it's like, get a job. You know, get real, get, you know, that kind of thing. So the song Around Here is about that kind of uphill climb in a smaller town.
Cool, let's hear it.
Okay.
Now just watch out for your cable.
Yep, we're good.
All right.
Same old door, I keep it down. Sam's not.
down here.
Such a beautiful sounding guitar.
Oh, thank you.
We'll talk about it after you finish your songs. What's next?
Next is a song called Dangling. Pretty cut, straightforward. It's a song about a relationship gone bad. We've all been there.
No, not me. This ain't your mother's folk music.
All right, this song called Spent, and this is kind of along the same lines, but it can kind of really be applicable to any situation you're in that you've just had enough when you're tapped out, and that's how I felt when I wrote this song. And this is also off the brand new CD. It's called Spent.
Mistakes again.
That's a beautiful guitar. Is that a custom-made guitar for you?
No, believe it or not, it's an Ibanez. It's right off the shelf. Really? I went down to Alto Music. It was in Middletown. I was looking for a second acoustic, and I got to be honest with you. I played $1,500 Martins and Guilds, $2,000 Guilds, and I thought they just sounded terrible. The action was very, very high. And I saw this kind of sitting in the corner, had a tag on it, and I thought it might have been sold. I liked the finish, the that vanilla maple, kind of flamed maple. So I went over to it, and I grabbed it, and I just touching the action, I was like, wow. I just couldn't get over how great the action was, and it was only a few $100.
That's just a truss rod adjustment, really.
Right,
you
right.
loosen your strings, you put the Allen wrench in there.
Right. But when I looked at it, it had a little bit of dip, but they were fairly flat, and the actions were high. So I stayed away from it. I found this at the last minute, and it felt great, so I grabbed it, and it's kind of become the first guitar. And everybody comments on it. It's a pretty guitar.
You know what it is? It's got a 12-string sound.
Yeah, it's bright. Yep.
It's nice. Do you have a tuner on top?
Yep, it's got the tuner on board.
Yeah, I just love
it. It's got a notch filter. The notch filter helps with any kind of on-stage feedback if you're getting from like the monitors or anything. So it helps out quite a bit. It's a great guitar. It feels great.
Awesome. Wanted to ask you one of our standard canned questions.
Sure.
We're not the Actor's Studio, but we still got to can some questions. Desert Island.
Mm-hmm.
CD player.
Okay.
Name a couple of CDs.
That I would take with me.
And you might think about it too.
Sure.
You over there.
While he's talking.
Let's see. If I had to take two with me, I would probably take, I'm guessing on what I've listened to the most in recent times, and I would take Springsteen's latest Magic, which I think is a great record. Got criticized for the production, but I thought it was amazing. And I would take another up-and-coming guy. This guy's going to blow up. He's amazing. His name is David Ford. And the record is called Song for the Road. He's kind of a cross between if James Blunt got the hell beat out of him by Tom Waits. And it's just, it's got that's I love Tom Waits so much because Tom Waits goes places that most people don't go. Because, you know, we have like a saying in the band and the trio, it's on a lot of our material, that reality is in the dirt. And that's kind of where I come from in my writing. And Tom Waits has a tendency to get down in the dirt and down in the gutter when he writes. And a lot of people are afraid to go there. But I think that's where the depth is. So if I had to take two, I'd take Magic by Springsteen and David Ford's Song for the Road.
So are you okay with the production on that record? Or?
I loved it. You know, he got the producer was one of the guys that was in Georgia Satellites, actually. He produced that record, yeah. And he got criticized for his use of compression. But I think Springsteen wanted a record that was in your face. And they really got it with that. I think it's just, it jumps out at you. It's a very thick record and written very well. And so, no, I don't criticize it. I think it's great. I love it.
My only issue with, I really only know one song, Radio Nowhere, and it's just like, I don't need to hear four rhythm guitars playing the same thing.
Right.
And
layered.
Where I can barely hear his voice. I was happier with the other production.
Right. That's where a lot of the criticism came from. But it's different for me. It's thicker. It stands out. It punches you in the face, and it's not as raw as like earlier Springsteen. But see, I like change. I like when people don't change and they keep doing the same stuff after all, even the same production value, get a little stale. But I love it. I think.
Well, that's you bring up such a conundrum.
Right.
Because if it doesn't change, you get bored.
Right.
Your people get bored.
Right.
If it changes too much,
you get criticized.
You lose your audience.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's very difficult. I remember with Bruce, speaking of Bruce, I mean, I grew up with Bruce with his first couple of albums when, you know, he was singing Sandy and Blinded by the Light.
Asbury Park.
Right, where he was like, you know, he was a kid on the boardwork and he was singing about that life, and I really enjoyed it. Then all of a sudden he's singing about Mary and getting my union code. And, and I wasn't happy with that. Then Darkness came out, and at first I didn't like it, but then it grew on me. But
Nebraska's a great record. Nebraska is probably as raw as you can get. But I think, again, when you have artists that grow up, I think hopefully their music changes with them. If not, you get Aerosmith singing about getting laid when they're 74 years old, and no one wants to think about that. All right? You don't want to think about that.
Well, you know, wait till you get to 74. You may want to think about it.
I'm not writing songs
and
about it.
And there's medical supplements to help you at 74. Don't forget that.
Oh, my God.
Color of the cameraman shirt.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Let me ask you, have you thought of a couple albums you would like to take out?
Definitely the first album I get would be Frank Zappa's Overnight Sensation, or Apostrophe. I am a huge Frank Zappa fan.
That he is.
When it comes to
Dave,
just becoming a better musician, there's no other artist that I can look to try to push me to be what that is to be a musician. I love what John does. It actually brings me home to be a better, you know, popular type songwriter for original stuff. But in terms of my own playing, Frank Zappa pushes me to a place where I just would love to be.
Somewhere. Have you seen any of the Zappa Does Zappa shows?
I was there November of the Kingston show, Zappa Does Zappa.
Backstage, in fact.
And we met Zappa backstage. We had in 91, I used to work in a record store, and I won an autographed Fender Strat from Dweezil Zappa. And in terms of my life going on, I gave it to our guitar player, Sean. And we both went together. He got a friend to run home, bring that same guitar to the show, and we met him backstage, and 20 years later, he signed it again. It was just like, what? I can't tell you how that show just inspired me to play more, man. It's just a great. And the second album would be Tom Scott, Tomcat. He's one of the best sax players in the world.
L.A. Express.
L.A. Express. He's written so many theme songs for TV shows you don't even know. He's played with Pink Floyd. He's played with Billy Joel, this Blues Brothers. Just, that's the guy that I want to emulate sax-wise, so.
See, I thought you were going to tell me Steely Dan. I don't know.
Steely Dan's great, but Frank Zappa's got to be with me, man.
Oh, yeah, it's Zappa. I could have told you Zappa with him. In fact, that's all we listened to on the way down here. And we were getting lost. I had to tell him, I said, can you put something on it? It's not going to make me nervous.
Zappa will make you nervous.
I've got one of his old albums on CD, the one with the picture of Brian Jones, my pumpkin. Eat Any Vegetable, Call It My Name. That, you know, that's
a deep catalog, old stuff. Though.
That's old
Mothers
stuff.
Of Invention stuff.
Right, when he was into humor, before he got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you for having us.
This is about the end of part one. We'll probably go pee and then come back and do part two.
Peeing is good. Thanks for having us, guys.
Okay. We out. So, Joe, you know what? We got to do something about that cord, because he was stepping on that cord the whole time.
Was I really?
And I
put it between my legs, because when I put it off to the side, I was stepping on it even more, because it's kind of wrapping around my leg.
But can we? I think it
looks like you can run it up the back, maybe through the shoulder or something.
That's a lot of times what we do. We run it up through the back. Run it through the back. But do you need to go to the bathroom? Do you guys want to go over your next three songs?
Sure, dude. Yeah, definitely. Oh,
that.
Okay. Well, just take...
Did you get to see a Dweezil Zappa show, sir? Did you get to see it?
No. I'm not a big Zappa fan anymore.
His son's doing all his stuff from 72 to 78. And he did this one thing where he opens up with a song. And he's got his father on a big screen in the background.
Just kind of run it up.